I'm Paul Landcor with PodTech.net, and with us on the phone today is Nick Boknin. He is the senior manager at Bearing Point, and Laurent Mendola. He's a manager at Bearing Point. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
We're here today to talk to you about virtualization, and the first thing I want to talk to you about is there's a lot of buzz, a lot of momentum in the industry about virtualization, and I think we should start with some definitions. So if you could just define virtualization for us, please.
Sure, it's a good question, Paul. Virtualization is actually one of the many tools that are available today to IT organizations looking at ways to make better use of their existing IT infrastructure and the investment in components of their IT infrastructure. It's part of a broader set of solutions that we refer to as utility computing, and there have been several podcasts, including the one by Frederic Veron, that look at utility computing and how it helps IT organizations today make better use of their resources. In a nutshell, virtualization is a way to group computing resources, whether it's CPU, memory, network, disk, into logical pools that can be allocated on demand in very dynamic, automated fashion to the applications and the supporting IT services that need it, without basically the overhead that comes with ordering new servers every time you need to introduce a new application. It gives you the flexibility to create, to manage during the life cycles of new servers as the demand from your users grow.
So my question then is, given that there's a lot of buzz in the industry, what is it all about? Why is virtualization at the forefront of all this talk today?
Well, it didn't just start by itself. It's been going around for quite a while, and it really started to be used really in the labs where people used it for their development platforms. It's flexibility in development environments, enabling people to move forward, roll back, test different configurations much more easily. Is probably what started the buzz. Today, however, it's really moved into the full-fledged production areas, and what's driving that is a lot of the benefits on cost, as Laurent mentioned, in terms of not having to buy new equipment, benefits on footprint, so being able to not necessarily have that many servers, which are used at a very small percentage, and consolidate a lot of that computing power. So using existing computing power that's already been bought and paid for and being able to take full advantage of it. As you know as well, there's a big push today around energy conservation. I'm sure everybody's had to fill up their car with gas, and there's a lot of rationale behind trying to save our precious energy. So there's a big push in the data center as well to try to save energy and to use less, and obviously making more use of the existing computing power is one way to do that. So those are the kinds of benefits that are driving people towards virtualization. However, just like everything else that's new, as you add complexity and as you stack servers or virtual servers onto physical machines, there are new challenges that are introduced in terms of how those data centers are operated.
And I want to talk to you more about those challenges, but first I also want to ask, that outlines some of the business drivers behind this, but is there also something going on technologically that is making this a viable option in a way that it hasn't been in the recent past?
There's definitely a couple of technology-related aspects that play a big role as well. First of all, it's a technology that's matured. As Nick just mentioned, it's been around for a long time. It's reached that stage where it's stable enough, people feel comfortable with it, that they don't only use it in lab environments to do development and to gain that flexibility only in development environments, but they start really using it to the full extent possible for production applications, for mission-critical applications. So it's reached that maturity level where people really feel comfortable that it can bring some business value and make a better use of their investment in technology. And it also brings a lot of advantages for IT organizations that manage complex, large data centers. One example is in the old world when you needed to add a server, it requires basically purchasing some hardware, which would take 60, 90 days depending on your vendor. It would take a lot of cabling, powering up, testing. Today, with a virtual environment, you can do the same within basically hours, if not minutes, and you can do it more efficiently and in an automated way. So it brings a lot of clear advantages in the way you manage your IT as an IT organization. So the technology itself enables you to do a lot more things that were simply not possible before.
So Nick had mentioned the challenges that are faced by virtualization in addition to the benefits, and I'm wondering if you could outline some of the challenges. What is it that I would imagine that virtualization creates some issues around management that would be very important?
And some of these issues are actually tightly related to some of the benefits that virtualization brings. We mentioned that virtualization allows you to be much more agile and flexible by automating the creation of virtual servers and their management. But IT organizations may not be ready for this today. If you don't have solid processes and documented ways of doing things today, it's going to be even more difficult for you to automate those things. The move to a model where resources are shared among applications, among business users, also means you need a very efficient way of tracking your IT resources and also understanding where they are located and who the end user at the business level is for those resources. It's very important to understand the impact of anything happening on those resources, whether it's a server failing or a performance degradation on your IT infrastructure. It's very important to understand the impact of those things on the business, on the users, on the people who rely on the IT infrastructure. And those things become much more complex in a virtual world. For example, there are technologies today with virtualization that allow you to move a virtual server from one physical server to another, which means that basically your servers now move in the data center, and they're not in a given location at any time. And this is a fundamental shift in the way you look at your pool of servers. And managing that, making sure you have the tools to track these motions and understand where everything is, how each of those components relate to each other, and how they contribute to providing a service to the business is one of the key challenges to moving to a virtual model.
So I'm with an IT organization, and I'm exploring the possibility of virtualization for my group. What are some of the things that I can do to best prepare for virtualization?
Well, there's a few things that will enable the transition to go very smoothly. Some of them are more technical in nature, in particular around standards, having well-established standards, having a technology roadmap, and following this roadmap will definitely make this transition go very well. If today, for instance, you're not managing your servers using standard images and you have well-established images for the types of servers that you need, then you definitely need to implement that for to be able to make full use of the virtualization technology. So there are some technical aspects, in particular with respect to standards, that are very important and that can make the transition easier. On another hand, the organization itself is oftentimes reluctant to move forward. Historically, what we found is that a lot of organizations are very attached to the different and very technology-centric roles that they have within the organization, which means one group takes care of one component of the infrastructure, another group takes care of another component of the infrastructure, and oftentimes it's very difficult to move away from this mindset of, this is my turf, this is my piece of the overall pie. And unfortunately, this kind of mindset can really block the progress of virtualization within an organization. Virtualization is about breaking those barriers and really allowing everybody to kind of play with all the resources that are out there, and being able to allocate them dynamically and allocate them on the fly to whomever needs it the most. Therefore, it kind of changes the changes the way the span of control works within an organization. So if today the organization is very technology-centric and very siloed, that can be an issue from an implementation perspective. Some of the other aspects that are important are around the processes. Again, if your organization is very technology-centric and everybody just takes care of their turf, it can make breaking down those barriers difficult. However, if some processes are already in place, and if you're using things such as ITIL, which is a process framework that's highly recognized today as a best practice, this can really help define the right end-to-end processes across the organization to manage the flow of information, to manage the flow of issues or of changes that need to happen across an infrastructure. So using and implementing these types of processes can certainly help be better prepared for implementing virtualization.
So it sounds like a key to this is to take a step back and look at the big picture. And as you stated earlier, we're talking about now getting away from some physical environments and some traditional practices and looking at things in terms of logical pools. And I would imagine it would take some, again, some thoughtful management in order to assure the availability and performance of this new virtual environment. I wonder if you could elaborate on that as a challenge as well.
You're right, Paul. It's also a challenge. In a way, the way you approach this is no different than approaching any new technology that you bring into your data center. If you plan it carefully and you start with, you know, a phase where you try to understand the impact that this new technology is going to have on the way you operate today, how you're going to have to adapt to change your procedures, look at your processes and how they can, you know, either leverage this new technology as a tool to make things more efficient, or how they're going to be negatively impacted and how they need to adjust so that they can keep on working in a virtual world. If you take the time early on to assess the impact that this new technology will have on the way you manage, for example, the performance and the availability of your IT environment, you're in a much better position to make those changes, to adjust your organization, your IT processes, develop the tools you need to measure those new things. And again, performance and availability is a good example. When you add server virtualization to your mix of existing technology standards in a data center, you're obviously adding an extra layer of complexity. You're adding a virtualization layer that sits between your physical servers in your data center and your applications, your operating systems, everything that used to run on those servers. So obviously you're adding a layer of complexity that might impact the performance of your application. So understanding how you plan for, how you measure, you test the performance of those applications as you introduce them into that virtual server environment, and how you manage performance throughout the lifecycle of your applications is going to be critical to making sure you're successful in moving to a virtual server type of environment. Once you've basically assessed how your applications are impacted by virtualization and you move them to a production environment where they serve users, you're going to have some operational needs in terms of performance as well. You're going to have to instrument those applications, those virtual servers, and make sure you detect failures, you detect performance degradations. You're able to tune and optimize performance as you go, and also understand long-term what capacity you're using and how you're going to have to adjust that capacity as demand grows. So for that, you need obviously to adjust your existing processes, and you know you might need to have a stronger focus on performance than you do today, for example. And you also need a new set of tools to detect those performance failures that might happen on the virtualization layer and impact your applications. So again, you need kind of a holistic approach that meshes all those things. And one critical aspect, for example, is to have something that automatically detects, maps all your virtual servers to the underlying IT infrastructure and understands the current performance levels of all those components and how any performance degradation, let's say on a network interface, for example, will impact those virtual servers, the applications that run on them, etc. So this is a very good example of an area where moving to virtual servers will add quite a bit of complexity. On the other hand, it allows you to do things like automated resource balancing, where, for example, if an application requires more resources, you can automatically move it to a different physical server and make use of those available resources there. So it's another one of those cases where there's definitely benefits and challenges. And again, if you have the right approach and you do enough early on planning and you assess the impact that this new technology will have on your IT operations, you can definitely take advantage of it.
But it does sound like by adding in this virtualization layer, it can be difficult to actually know what's going on, to understand which environment, which application is running where at any given time. Is that also one of the new challenges that you'd face?
Absolutely. In reality, the challenge of really understanding what's happening where and which application sits on what servers has existed in a long time in IT environments, and it's really the kind of situation that's meant to be solved by this, I guess we'll call it, new breed of tools called the CMDBs, or Configuration Management Databases. Now, the need for those is quickly being understood, and there's a lot of projects that are going on out there to implement these types of systems. However, in a virtualized world, their requirement just becomes much, much higher as well. The complexity of designing and defining a CMDBL work for a virtual environment is also increased. So really the need for functioning within the realms of a real CMDB, which will track, manage what's going on where, which applications sit where, and which server logically fits with another physical machine, becomes critical. That's really the piece where all of the performance indicators, all of the issues that happen that Laurent was mentioning before, can really get aggregated, and where you can do your real trend analysis. And as well, you can really you can use that to see how much you're really saving, and to really rationalize the cost-benefit study that you would have done to go to virtualization. It's only by aggregating this information that you can go back and say, we are achieving the results we wanted, we are making the cost savings we wanted, we are reducing the footprint the way we wanted to do it.
Another challenge that you run into when you try to track virtual servers into a virtual environment is that you have basically servers that become more dynamic. If you look at things like automated provisioning or decommissioning, it's a way of managing your servers that basically differs from the traditional way of adding new capacity by just adding physical hardware. If you're able to create a server at basically the click of a button today, you need tools to be able to detect those things, and you need some kind of governance model around it to make sure that people don't create servers without the right level of approvals, without some kind of control mechanism, without a mechanism to detect servers currently in your environment and ensure you can reconcile that with the official list of servers and have basically some an ongoing cycle to discover, to audit, to reconcile your existing official list of servers as tracked in a configuration management database with what's actually out there in your environment. So again, it's a technology here, for example, that adds a lot of flexibility, a lot of automation, and allows you to do things in a much easier way. But you need to make sure that your processes adapt and that you properly transform your organization to take advantage of those tools without running into issues. And this particular example for about provisioning and decommissioning new servers can be especially of an issue if you're in a regulated industry where you need to keep a tight audit trail of everything you introduce into your environment. Every time you make a change, every time you move a server around, for example, if you need to have an audit trail for, let's say, SOC or HIPAA compliance, this is where you need to adapt your existing processes and make sure you have the tools to detect, discover those changes, and detect any non-compliance that might happen because of the fact that it becomes so much easier to make changes and to create new servers in a virtual environment.
In reality, another aspect that you want to make sure you can cover is to stop or put the right level of control to prevent server sprawl. Already today, and today only, people are starting to get their physical environments under control after the late 90s and early 2000s, where the Intel servers became so inexpensive that any department could buy them, and people had servers sitting under their desks. That's finally coming under control, with servers having moved over the last 10 years into the data center and being more controlled, because essentially you could control the creation of new servers by controlling the door and preventing net new servers from coming into the raised floor. But with virtualization, there's none of that baked-in control, and the control has to be really procedural, because creating a new server can be done essentially in seconds, as we said before. Therefore, there's nothing preventing hundreds and hundreds of new servers being created every day and potentially getting forgotten and just running out there for no particular reason and using resources. So the risk of sprawl is much greater in virtual environments.
That's a very good point. And actually, if you look at some of the things that IT organizations are trying to do with virtualization, some of them include things like giving your users the opportunity through a self-serve portal, for example, to automatically create their own servers. And again, that presents some risk of server sprawl, and that requires you to have some pretty tight control mechanisms in place to understand how you're going to make that work. It's a great service to give to your users, but if you don't properly plan for it, you might run into some issues with capacity in your data centers.
I think that's actually the topic of another podcast that was hosted by Manuel a little bit earlier around how you productize your IT services and whether it's an art of a science. This is definitely one of the cases where, you know, providing a better and more flexible service might end up being a disservice as a whole to the organization by really opening up essentially the floor space and the data center floor to the users to create their own servers.
So once again, it just seems to confirm what you're saying about needing some astute overall management in order to make this as effective as it can possibly be. As we wrap up our conversation here, I'm just wondering if either of you has additional information, anything else you'd like to add for our listeners?
I guess as a wrap-up, we could say that the virtualization is extremely promising as a technology. Obviously, people are already reaping the benefits in terms of their in terms of the CapEx or capital expenditure side of the costs. However, just like any new technology, after the initial enchantment, the need for the right level of management, control, and of course the shift in processes and organization is critical to really reach the full potential that technology provides.
And having a framework like ITIL, which we mentioned earlier, is definitely a good starting point to at least have a common language and a way for everybody involved in making server virtualization work can gather around and then understand in a similar fashion. And actually, ITIL is moving from version 2 today to version 3, which will add a lot of considerations about provisioning, decommissioning, and your whole life cycle of services, which we talked about a little bit today. So it's a great thing to look at as a mechanism to have a common framework, a common terminology to understand how you're going to plan for server virtualization. And I think actually ITIL V3 and those improvements it will add that can help you in that area are a topic of an upcoming podcast as well.
Great. Well, we look forward to that. And gentlemen, thank you very much for taking time out and speaking with us today.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Nicolas Bogdan is Senior Manager at Bearing Point. Laurent Mendola is Manager at Bearing Point.